Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of 5-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Dr. James Rattigan, retired Dean of Student Affairs at Wichita State University. Welcome to Issues 2019. Nice to have you with us, sir.
Thank you.
Student Union at WSU has your name on it. How does that feel to have a building named after you?
It seems a little unreal at times. It's better. I mean, one time I was driving to my jogging class with my wife, and listen to your program, and you referred to me as the late Jim Rattigan. I'm better than that.
I did?
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry about that. A little premature on that. What has Twain said? Rumors of my demise are exaggerated.
Yes, yes.
Well, let's go back in the Wayback Machine. And where were you before you arrived at Wichita State? I don't think you had any life before that, did you, or did you?
Well, I was at the University of Iowa from 1960 to 1965. When I was simultaneously working on a doctoral degree, and I was in the Dean of Students office there as an assistant dean of men.
What's your education background before that?
I had a bachelor's degree from Coe College. It's a small college in Iowa, which I really enjoyed. And then I went to Syracuse University for a master's degree in history.
Now, you're from Iowa, is that correct?
That's right, a little town, Monticello in eastern Iowa.
Okay. So when you were a kid growing up in Iowa, did you know Ronald Reagan?
No, but I've met Ronald Reagan.
Well, there you go. I bet you've met some interesting people over the years.
I met him at Wichita State University when he was a candidate. He was talking to a bunch of Baptist ministers, and our president was gone, so he asked me if I'd sit in, and I did. And he was a very delightful man. Said he loved Wichita because he got his start here as a radio announcer when he was doing a program for a station in Omaha when Nebraska was playing Wichita State for something or other.
Okay. Well, now, when you were a kid in Iowa, what did you dream of being when you grew up? A successful farmer?
Well, that's a good question, but I couldn't tell you really that I had a dream. I didn't even think about going to college until I was a senior.
Okay. Well, how did the timing of that? How did it dovetail? Was it that dovetail with World War II, or was that before World War II or after World War II?
Well, I graduated from high school in 1953.
So. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon, sir. I had you dated there. I'll bet there are one or two teachers who influenced you.
Yeah.
Want to talk about them?
Yeah.
A couple of them?
Right. They're the teachers that called me out on being lazy and told me to get with it. And and were unsympathetic when I didn't.
So they encouraged you by saying, get with the program.
Yeah, or I get a D in geometry, which I did.
Oh, man. Wasn't that the pitch?
Only once.
We have something in common. Geometry was completely foreign to me. I could not master geometry.
Well, at the end, I got pretty good at it.
Oh, did you really?
Because, okay. My parents didn't like the D on the card.
Okay. Now, tell us about becoming a Shocker back in, 1965? Is that where you came to town?
Yes. It was a bit of a fluke because I just finished my doctoral degree, but because I worked, I also had 5 years' experience. I was only 29, But I applied to different places, and I got three interviews, and one of them was at Wichita State. And later on, I discovered it was not so much my doctoral degree, but Emory Lindquist, the president at the time, had a doctoral degree in history, and he liked my background in the liberal arts.
So you've worked with how many presidents then?
Oh, I don't know, maybe seven or eight.
Well,
I was in office only five.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I knew President Corbin. Of course, I knew President Bardot.
How'd you meet all those people?
Well, President Corbin.
Yeah, I know they came to work here, but.
Well, President Corbin was a baseball fan, so I'm at baseball games. I generally sat with him.
Oh, okay.
Or often, I would say, sat with him.
Well, there was a time when there was no baseball here.
That
there was a big time in several years.
Yeah, but when I came here, they were in doing a great job.
Okay. Now you were coming in during some exciting times, sports wise, because I was a kid growing up in town. I'll tell you what, mid '60s, Wichita State was doing some fun things.
Yes.
Or was Wichita for a while? Then Wichita State. Tell us about that. Basketball. We still had football.
Basketball was great. Yeah. But everything was overshadowed for me by the politics of the day.
Tell me about that, then.
Well, we had the war in Vietnam, but that was only one thing going on. 1965 to 1970 was the era of free speech, which had started Berkeley, the black student movement, until 1965 or 66. The phrase for a person of color was Negro.
Yeah.
But then in California, the Oakland Five called that inadequate description and much preferred black. And so Negro not only fell in disuse, it was practically a hate word in a matter of months. But that wasn't the end of it. We had the women's movement was really gaining momentum, and we had the beginnings of the disability concerns of students and our lack of accessibility in the campus. A handful of Hispanic students who were looking for recognition and so forth.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you there because you're getting ahead of me. I have those questions coming up later, but we'll come back to that in a minute.
I just decided to blurt out everything
I
knew.
You decided you're going to control this program, didn't you? It's a coup. Let's just go back a little bit and tell us about moving Wichita University from a city school to a state school. Was that really necessary at the time? What was going on then?
I came in the second year. They came in the city system in 1964, and I came in 1965 when President Lindquist invited me to be vice president for student affairs and to start a modern program, as he put it, in student affairs. They had had things before, but they were discontinued because of the financial pressures on the University of Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
So, but by the time I came, the enrollment had increased from about 6,500 to 11,000 in 1 year because, tuition was $7 a credit hour, for example.
Those were the days.
I gave a speech recently. I said, unfortunately, we have not had to raise that since.
So you would go to a state school. So do you think WSU's always gotten a fair shake from the folks in Topeka?
Well, at the beginning, that question is no. The Board of Regents voted 9-0 to keep us out of the system just a few months later. But Emory Lindquist was such a powerful figure.
He must have been something else.
Well, he was a Kansan of the year, the year I came here. He was knighted by King Carl Gustav XVI, and so he could have been called Sir Emory. Of course, he wouldn't put up with that, but he was a remarkable man. He's just the right man for the job.
I never knew that the Board of Regents voted 9-0 to keep Wichita out.
That's right.
Wow. So we came in feeling very much wanted by the rest of the state.
Everybody.
A lot of love there, right?
But
so we've kind of had a chip on our shoulder.
Oh, yeah, we did. And there were some other conditions. We were entered as an associate of the University of Kansas. But 1 year under Emory Lindquist and the chancellor at KU was a really fine man, all that fell away.
So there was some politics going on. I didn't realize that, I guess. You did, but I was only about 15 years old, so I didn't know what was going on. Hey, you're listening to Issues 2019 here on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Dr. James Radigan, retired Dean of Student Affairs at Wichita State University. I haven't known you well over the years. We've crossed paths a few times, and I don't know you well enough to call you Jim, but I'll tell you, I got a feeling when I was writing down some questions for this year, I got a feeling I might lose control early. You're talking about the turbulent times on the campus in the 60s, and well, I've talked to Dave Dahl. Of course, Dave is a local attorney who was drafted and played ball at Wichita State basketball. And he talked about some of the time when he was a white kid coming here, and there were some black basketball players who thought they were getting a little pressure because from the other black kids that they needed to do more for the that movement. It was a tough time.
I really felt that there are some of our black players were, you know, just normally functioning students, but there are a handful who were radicalized by the national currents, in fact.
Yeah, yeah. National. Tell us about drugs on campus.
Big factor.
Okay. Oh. And how did we handle that? Did you look the other way?
We had two drugs of record, really, I would say. One was alcohol, which had been a campus favorite since the 20s. But the other one was marijuana. It was a disruptive drug. It wasn't so addictive, but it distracted students. And those who used anything worse than marijuana were taken over by their drugs, and they weren't a problem because they really couldn't survive in a college environment.
Let's talk a little bit about more about civil rights. Were there some demonstrations or anything like that on campus?
Oh, yes. We had we had large demonstrations, but they were not violent, and I thought they were quite effective, frankly. The students in the United States really led the protests against the war in Vietnam. I mean, that may please you or displease you, but certainly that was true. On our campus, it was true.
And we'd had sit-ins. Mm-hmm. At the Dockham Drugstore, one of the first, if not the first in the country, I think, in the late 50s.
Right, I believe that. That was before I got here.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but we had a lot of activity, but we had no violence.
Okay. How about, how's the university dealt with the local economy's ups and downs over the years? I mean, there have been times when you couldn't find a job in this town and other times when it was booming. As a university, how have you dealt with that?
Well, there is a... What happened at the university was inverse to the health of the economy. And the more unemployment there was, the larger the university growth, because that was the time if you couldn't find a job, you should be doing something useful, and so people went back to school. Conversely, when the economy was booming, maybe you'd wait for your university work because you were doing well on the job.
Talk about WSU's history as a place where so many of the students have not been full-time, live-on-campus, traditional-type college students. In my lifetime, there's been a lot of folks who are working and going to school at the same time. And you can contrast that. You go to the other universities, KU, K-State, and most of the kids there, I think, the people there are pretty much full-time students living in dorms and so forth.
Well, that used to be true, and it's probably true now to a certain extent, but campus picture today is quite different. And today we have vast numbers of full-time students. It's quite different from back when I started, when the average enrollment might have been 9 hours. But now it's not that way. And for the last 5 years, for example, we had the largest freshman classes in the university's history, and they tend to be full-time.
Let's talk a little bit about something that... the impact of the 1970 football plane crash on the university. Short-term, obviously, terrible. Yeah. Long-term, though.
I look at it as a kind of a series of concentric circles, and in the middle were people who were devastated, family members, I mean, the people whose lives were altered forever.
And you knew all those people.
Well, I didn't know very many of the ballplayers, but I knew some of the ballplayers.
The coaches, yeah.
But I knew all of the administrators who were killed and others. And then it spread out. So friends of friends of friends, and then time enters in. And so over time, You'd have to say not so much, but for a long time, yes. President Ahlberg told his administrative council in 1970 that he said, you guys are going to be dealing with this for 10 years. And I still deal with it every year. Issues come up about scholarships and so forth, the heirs of the crash.
Well, are we ever going to see soccer football again? I know you get asked that now and then.
Well, this is way beyond my pay grade.
But you use some of that, all that retirement money you're going to have and flood that back into the football.
Yeah, well, so the new president said, not that he could see immediately for sure. He said he's writing, I think he put it, I'm writing $17 million checks a year for football at ECU.
Okay.
And so he said, I'm not eager to do that.
It is expensive, no doubt. Talk about a little bit, if you will, about the quality of education at WSU and student enrollments over the past few years.
I think the enrollment quality is really quite good. Almost all of our classes are taught by professors, not graduate students, not paying graduate students, but I think students are more comfortable and feel better with full-time professors. And we still do that. And particularly in our undergraduate experience, I think students really get a really fine introduction to a campus. They work at that out there. And after that, your major takes effect, and so all that's a different ball game, much more rigorous and focused.
Enrollments, though, has been going up over the past few years?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think our highest enrollment was 1989 or 88. But that was comprised of a lot of those part-time students you were talking about.
Yeah.
But we got to 17,800 at that time. This year we passed 16,000 for the first time in a long time. But our credit hours are vastly larger. Back in the old days, with the shortage of students in Kansas, a lot of people came to Wichita to recruit. In 1989, Butler County was probably 3,000 students, and there are 10,000 today, so we've had a lot of competition.
Now let's talk a little bit about the Innovation Campus and WSU Tech. I know that's a big thing going on out there, the Innovation Campus.
Well, we'll just take them in reverse order.
Okay, go ahead.
The Wichita Tech is reasonably, it's an old thing, but a new concept under new leadership. And I have to say that, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, President Trump, through executive order, created the National Council for the American Worker. And the working arm of that was called the American Workforce Policy Advisory Board. And on that board are the presidents of Apple, Lockheed, IBM, Home Depot, Visa, Walmart, two governors, the governor of Iowa and the governor of Indiana. But to me, one of the most important persons is Sherry Utash, who is president of the Wichita... Wichita Tech.
Yeah, yeah.
And she is a member of this council as well. And I think it can be seen how effective she is because just this last month, the Ivanka Trump and Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce, came to Wichita to see how people in the trenches are really doing. And I think she demonstrated that we're practically a model. For workforce development. It was good for Wichita. It was certainly good for Wichita Tech.
Is that the main thing we're looking for at the university? Or do you want somebody to have a well-rounded liberal arts education, or are we just there to train people to go to work?
Well, Wichita Tech has a specific mission, and so, but it morphs into baccalaureate education if you want it, but it provides an opportunity for everybody to get a worthwhile education and make money during their lifetime.
We had a story this past week. There was a survey done of high school kids in America, And it showed that fewer of them are looking at a college education as the way to go in their future. More of them are thinking about, maybe I do a tech school. Maybe I do something that I'm going to work with my hands, or I'm going to work with electronics. Do you see that trend? Is that something you've seen?
Well, yeah. I see it as a trend, a very good trend, because back in the old days, that was what you did if you couldn't go to college. But now it's entirely different. We have 5,000 people in Wichita at Wichita Tech, and they're all totally different life circumstances and ages, and they're there for a specific purpose. The mission of a tech school is to provide useful education that can produce a job almost immediately.
You brushed a little bit on community colleges. We used to call them junior colleges around the area. How has Wichita State functioned in relation to Butler and Cowley and these junior colleges?
Well, we're the number one choice of those schools when their students transfer. And so I'd say we're doing well. But they also, they're growing in their numbers and significance, and so they're, on the other hand, competitors of ours. But lots of places compete against a four-year school now. We've had people from Southern California. I just couldn't even tell you about the number of schools that bring representatives here, including smaller colleges inside Kansas.
You got a new WSU president, Mr. Jay Golden. What do you think of this person?
Well, he made a very good first impression, so we'll have to see. And he's got a phenomenal education and phenomenal history, so I'm really optimistic about him. And he's interested in innovation because he's a part of that North Carolina triangle of Duke, North Carolina State, and North Carolina, which is they call it the innovation triangle or something that. And so I think his ideas of what an innovation campus should be maybe even more advanced than what we're doing.
So that sounds like a pretty good fit.
It does.
Okay. Now, here's the biggest question I have for you today, I think. Are today's students really much different from the ones you've seen over the past 40 or 50 years?
The answer would be no, they aren't. And here's what's different is the circumstances that bring them to college. If the economy is way down, students are intensely focused because they're looking, employment is essential. But if jobs are plentiful, well, then you get the roaring 20s, and they're not too concerned about it. But right now, students are concerned because of the enormous debt that many of them are forced to take on because college has become so expensive.
Wow. So did you, when you got out of college, did you have several hundred thousand dollars in debt that you had to pay?
No, I didn't. I worked my way through college just like most everybody else did. There was no real financial aid. Was kind of a foreign term to me. I don't recall getting any.
Okay. What do you think? What's the future of university education, college education?
Oh, I think
is Wichita State the model? Is it going to be a blend of things?
I think we're in a really good shape there, and because of our circumstances in a modern size city, there's opportunity to work your way through school, and not everybody is in debt when they leave Wichita State. Lots of students work, some of them work almost full time to get through. And but President Golden wants to provide more financial aid for people who are in the lower income category so they don't have to accrue so much debt. And we're also taking on more different types of students. We have a program called Gear Up. And its major emphasis is foster children, who are people who have fallen between the cracks in our society. Nobody seems to care for them. We're working very hard to make sure they're mainstreamed.
We're almost out of time. We could probably do a couple hours just talking about people you've met and you've known over the years. But how do you stay busy in retirement?
Well,
that's kind of a personal question.
I retired several times, but my last paycheck was when I was 78. But I still work every day, almost. But I just work in my terms. Nobody tells me what to do, and I enjoy going in the office. My wife probably does too. And I still write, and I try to raise money if I can. So I like the slower lifestyle and enjoying being active, though.
We want to just thank you for your career at Wichita State and all the great work you've done there and with some great people as well. And we appreciate you spending some time with us and giving us an update on what's been happening at Wichita State over the past few years. And our guest, of course, James Rattigan, retired Dean of Students Affairs at Wichita State University. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. See you next week. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.